SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Taking over. Let's go. It's Pharrell.
Coast to coast.
Steaks, chicks, stacks. You and I are going to make a lot of money. It's Pharrell. Coast to coast. All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast for hour two. The Zuzu's going on at Sherman Oaks in Cali. It's beautiful. They're playing. Tiger's doing terrible. Ryan Fitzpatrick, of course, got benched for Tua Tagovailoa, and he's now in the lead at Sherwood at 6-under after he quit playing NFL.
Hello.
All right.
I got to tell you, Scott, quickly, that Tua thing, or we can save it later for the show. Like, Ryan Fitzpatrick, like, really? Like, I can't believe the way he handled this situation. Like, I get it.
All right, we're going to play it later. I'm going to play the whole thing. So I'll serve it up to you later so you can make fun of him then. So Dana White says that Gaethje would be the number one pound for pound if he beats Khabib on Saturday in Pharrell Adabi. Do you believe that if Justin Gaethje wins this fight, that he would be the number one pound-for-pound fighter in the world?
Yeah, I know. Like, you look at the list, John Jones, and, well, what's John Jones done other than, you know, get wasted and do other stuff and duck fights? Like, he hasn't done anything recently. Here's the thing about, you know, Khabib's an absolute killer. He'll come at you, like, from every angle and just keep on getting you, and eventually forcing you down. Nobody can beat this guy. I'll tell you, though, Gaethje, if Khabib gets clocked, well, that's a whole other story. Mafia knows his MMA. His picks are very, very good. I do the show with Gabe. He's good with the MMA. I usually take dogs, but it's so hard to go against Khabib, right, Scott? Like, the things that he does, just the way his wrestling and his takedown, like, Gaethje, though, I will give him this. They question his gas tank, and you saw the fight with Tony Ferguson. He lasted, right? Like, he was still, like, his shots were crisp and pure deep into the fight, so his cardio is a lot better, but I don't know, man. I guess Khabib's going to have to be parlayed, my friend, because you can't lay 340 on him, but he's going to be so hard to beat just because he's relentless in his takedown. He'll eventually get you down.
Well, I know that I'm clearly on the Khabib side for winning this fight, but I have to say, if I don't see what the problem is, I'd make a side bet on Gaethje knocking him out. As sure as I'm sitting here, because that guy, he literally has just stone hands. I mean, he knocks guys out and beats guys to a pulp. If that guy starts landing shots, if he stays in the middle of that cage and lands big bombs, I don't care who you are. It's simple. Everyone's is the toughest guy in the world until they get knocked the Pharrell out. Everybody's the greatest fighter ever. Mike Tyson. Buster Douglas knocked him the Pharrell out. Everybody's tough. No one can beat him. He's unbeatable. Everyone is beatable in the UFC. I've yet to see one guy ever win every fight. They all eventually lose.
No, you're absolutely right. And the thing is, Gaethje, you talk about it. His knockout power, he ends lives. Gabe asked me yesterday, what would you do in a dark alley if you had two ways to go? You know, you have to run into Justin Gaethje on one side and Khabib on the other. I was thinking I would take Justin Gaethje, but I made the wrong choice because if I ran for Gaethje, if he hits me, Scott, my face is basically exploding and my teeth are like in the back of my throat. Like, you're dead in one punch. At least with Khabib, you know, he might take you and then like put me out on a nice slow chokehold and just like put me to sleep. That's the thing. So Gaethje, you said it. Those hands are diamonds. They're cutters. He is absolutely, like, if he lands one, and Khabib has never been, like, think about it. Has he been hit like that? Interesting.
Yeah. We welcome in our radio affiliate, Sports Grid Radio, overnights for All on the Bench, Sports Rage with Morency, Bagels and Bad Beats with Scotty Wetzel. Get the Sports Grid Radio app. You'll love it. It's Gandhi. It's got all the TV and radio shows on it. It's 24/7. It's a beautiful thing. It's more important than water and food. Also, go to sportsgridradio.com, our YouTube page. Just search Sports Grid Radio, and you can watch us do the shows. I'll see you tonight on the bench at 10 p.m. East, 7 West. And we're on Mightier 1090 in San Diego and all of Southern California. You know what I would do in that alley move where they were on one side of me and the other one's on the other side of me? I would have to pull a Homelander move where I would shoot up through the sky and vanish. And then as I was flying away, I'd have both of their heads explode off of their neck and they would be left dead and blood would be squirting everywhere. I don't know if you've ever watched The Boys, but that show's kick ass. It's very violent. Tony Ferguson doesn't like Khabib and others writing him off after one loss, thinks he'll fight Khabib again before he's done fighting. Do you think you'll ever see Khabib fight Tony Ferguson again?
Probably not. I'd like to see Tony Ferguson fight again, though. This is the thing about Ferguson. The guy goes through a lot, right? Like, he's dealing with a lot mentally. And you know what? Hey, Gaethje beat him. I was wrong in that fight, Scotty. I bet on Ferguson. I was thinking he was going to win that fight. He's not done. You said it. Everybody loses a fight. And I'm not sure if mentally he was all there. I don't know if he's going to fight Khabib again, but I think in the next fight, I'll probably be taking Tony Ferguson. I could tell you that. I think he's ready to kill somebody, next guy he faces.
So what do you think? Do you think they'll go back to Ferrell Adabi for more fights in 2021? I think it's been a great place for them. Do you think it's too far away? Do you think they'd go back?
No, I like it. It's good. It's because you have the UFC Apex there in Vegas, and then you have that. It's a nice venue. I think it's perfect. Kudos to Dana White. During COVID, this guy had a plan. Other leagues are freaking out. This guy actually gets it done. They go to Abu Dhabi, and you know, people are watching this stuff. They did a great job.
So Etihad Stadium is there. They said that that'll be ready by 2021 for fights. I hope they go back there. I think most of the fighters have loved it. They've had great fights there. Saturday is going to be unbelievable. Get the pay-per-view and you can watch it yourself. When we come back, we're going to get into a ton of NFL skinny. I mean, we got it all for you, so don't go anywhere, Slick.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know, don't take chances with COVID-19 and your family's health. Be smart. Use the Exergen temporal scanner to check temperatures before dinner and before you leave home in the morning. Stay focused, son. Exergen takes an accurate reading in seconds and is the number one thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, doctors, and nurses, clinics everywhere. Stay safe with Exergen. All right, Cam Stewart with us today on Coast to Coast. And we go into the NFL pain day skinny now. We got a lot of it. The Ravens trade for Yannick Ngakoue. They give up a 21 third-round pick and a 22 conditional fifth-round pick. And they also signed Dez Bryant today. What do you think of these two moves? He just moved from Jacksonville to many a month ago, and now he's been moved again. I always thought the guy was a great player.
I agree. And what did it prove, Scott? When Kansas City played Baltimore, man, they just beat the living crap out of those guys. It was embarrassing. Like, chunk yardage with Mahomes. They just couldn't get it done. I like Ngakoue a lot. And this is Baltimore basically saying, we're all in. We're going for it right now. He had 5 sacks in 6 games with the Vikings. And other than that, 8 almost, like, every year. The guy's a great, great pass rusher. So that's what Baltimore needs. I think the move is fantastic for them. They're not giving up as much. It's funny. Look at Minnesota. They pick him up and actually lose. Like, this team, I don't know what the Vikings are doing. I'm not a Kirk Cousins guy anyway. He's a fantasy quarterback, not a reality quarterback, in my opinion. But I will say, good move for Baltimore. As for Dez Bryant, buddy, who cares? Like, you're going to make the practice squad. What are you going to do in the league? I don't know. I know he's always been, like, in good shape, but hey, another big, tall receiver. Your best receiver is Marquise Brown. They got like Boykin, Sam, like Willie Snead. He's a possession receiver. Baltimore doesn't have the weapons offensively. They got good running game, but I don't think Dez Bryant's really going to help. What's your take?
Well, I think he's better than the receivers that they have in terms of his career, and I think he's still got great hands. I think it comes down to me, how's his motor? How are his
Yes, how's
legs?
the
How
speed? Yeah.
how's his speed? Like, I want to see if the guy still has it. Now, look, if I were to flip a coin, I would take heads with Antonio Brown over tails with Dez Bryant. I think Antonio Brown, when he got in with the Patriots, he was in the end zone in 3 minutes. I think that with Russell Wilson, Antonio Brown will be unstoppable. With Metcalf and Lockett, I think they're going to be just dangerous as all hell. The thing with Dez is, I still am not a buyer in Lamar throwing the football. So
I
I think it
agree.
depends on who the quarterback is to throw it to Dez, but I still think Dez has great hands. I think he can still play. I guess time will tell. Now, tonight, Eagles and Giants. The Eagles, Doug Peterson is incredible. 5-0 on Thursday nights, 7-1 against the Giants since he's been the Eagles coach. Here's Peterson talking about how to work themselves out of the hole that they've dug themselves into.
Listen, every week's heightened. The sense of urgency each week to win a football game, right? And we understand where we are, what the sort of the hole we've dug ourselves into. And listen, it's all about just one game at a time mentality. You don't want to look past the Giants. It's a good football team coming in here Thursday night, and we have to be prepared. It's a short week. We came off an emotional game, this past Sunday with Baltimore, and we got to turn around and play. So the sense of urgency each week is always there. And again, it's a one game mentality, one opponent at a time.
So I'll get into the injuries in a minute that Philly has, and they got plenty of them, but they are getting back DeSean Jackson, who should play about 10 minutes and then be injured for another year. He's injured for a year at a time. The guy never plays, but they're getting Lane Johnson back as well. We'll get into all that in a second. But, with those injuries, the Giants, Logan Ryan said it's hard to know who you're going to be facing out there when they play him tonight in Philadelphia.
We're dealing with injuries. Every team is around the league. I think it's probably at an all-time high at this point of the season. And we got to see who they got coming in and see what their skill set is, because players do what they do well, and coaches want to utilize players to the best of their ability. So we got to figure out what a guy does well. DeSean Jackson runs really fast. We know Hakeem Butler may play some tight end. He's a former receiver from drafted to the Cardinals. I remember watching him in college. So whoever, I know there are other tight ends they have on practice squad. I know they were former receivers. I have never seen them play in a game before, but I already know of them, because that's my job to do is prepare. And whoever's out there, tell our guys what that guy does best so we neutralize that. And however the Eagles decide to use them, they decide to use them. We just got to run our play and execute our play versus their play, and may the best play win, and may the best fundamentals win.
I mean, that list with Miles Sanders, Zach Ertz, Alshon Jeffrey, Malik Jackson, Jack Driscoll, Kevon Wallace. I mean, the whole team's injured, Cam. I mean, I don't even know how they can. It's like they're running out of high school team out there.
I agree. And here's another thing. I think playing the Baltimore Ravens, a physical team, that doesn't bode well either. Sure, we bet them and they covered in the back door, but now you have the Giants team. We're getting 4.5 points in this game, Scott. I'm in. I know it's you look at, you're betting on the Giants, are you stupid? No, well, I think it's going to be a really tight game. I think the Giants can win the game, and if the Eagles win, they're going to squeak out a win. I don't think they're going to win by more than 5 points in this game. The key, Daniel Jones, this guy can't turn over the ball, man, and make stupid mistakes in the red zone. They were hanging with your Pittsburgh Steelers for a while till the wheels fell off. They with the Rams, their defense actually showed up that game. They covered. They lost a heartbreaker. The Giants, I'm not going to say they're good, but the Eagles are so banged up. We're getting 4.5 points in a divisional game. Sign me up with the G-Men tonight, buddy.
So originally when it was 6.5, I was on the Giants. When it dropped to 3.5, I laid it with the Eagles because I think they can win the game by 4. Then it moved to 4.5, 5, whatever it is now on FanDuel. All I know is bottom line is I think the Giants are going to be in the game as well, because they've been able to score. They've been able to look better the last couple of weeks. And Philly's got so many problems. But let's not forget, they got a solid pass rush. And they and I still am going to take Wentz over Jones. I'm not a buyer in Jones yet. Too many mistakes like you talked about. Let me ask you this question. When it's all said and done and they get all their players back, if at any point they get healthy, will Philadelphia steal that division? Because I think Dallas is an absolute mess. They allow 36 points a game. They get schooled. They never cover. They get whacked every week. I think they're going to lose this week in D.C. Do you think Philly will steal this division when it's all said and done?
I do. And if you look at the odds, though, like on FanDuel, we were talking about it. Taking a flyer with the Giants at plus 850 seems to be the best move. I do believe Philadelphia is going to win, but you said it. Dallas stinks. Washington, they'll lose games. Eventually, like I know Kyle Allen. He's one of those guys, like it'll get worse. Every week, it'll get slowly worse and worse and worse. Andy Dalton in Dallas. Andy Dalton, you don't give him protection, he's a dead man. So that's what we know. I will say this. I think the Giants at that price is good. I think Philadelphia squeaks out the division, buddy. And when they get their pieces back, they grind. Hey, man, I give Philadelphia a lot of credit. When they played the Seahawks with half a team and a quarterback 43 years old in McCown, they almost won that game. I will never say anything bad about the Eagles' work ethic. They win the division.
So Ryan Fitzpatrick obviously was benched in favor of Tua. And here is Ryan Fitzpatrick talking about, losing the gig.
There's a lot of stuff going through my mind yesterday, just from a personal standpoint, not necessarily, with the team. But, is this it? Like, was that, my last game as an NFL player in terms of, being the starter and going out there and playing? And you just kind of go through all those different scenarios.
So, Tua also really looks up to Ryan, and he commented as well about the situation.
Well, it's definitely been a journey. I definitely think of, that injury when I got hurt and then the process leading up to being able to walk, being able to do football drills, being able to just do things in general. I definitely do reflect on that process that I went through, and I'm definitely blessed to be able to still be here and play the game that I grew up dreaming to play.
All right, so we'll see him in 2 weeks. They got a bye this week. Sam Darnold practiced for the Jets and hopes to start on Sunday against the Bills. We'll see if that comes to fruition, if they'll let him go. Either way, I think they're dead meat. I think the Bills will get right on Sunday. The Niners are likely to be without Richard Sherman and Dee Ford again this week. I'm hearing for several more weeks those two are going to be out, and Austin Ekeler will be sidelined again. And their coach, Anthony Lynn, says he'll be out longer than shorter. He's going to be out a while. They don't think he's coming back anytime soon. We got a lot more to talk about in the NFL, including the Steelers and Titans coming up. And we'll hear from Ryan Tannehill on Coast to Coast.
Bagels and bad beats.
Forget about being a game out of first place. We don't care about any of that stuff. Forget about being a half a game out of the final playoff spot. Let's throw Tua in now. Despite the players loving Fitzpatrick.
The Sports Grid Network.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, I just saw Munoz chip one in from about 80 yards out. That was beautiful. Sherwood Country Club. I played in a pro-am there. It's just a fantastic, beautiful setting and golf course, no doubt about it. With the Steelers and Titans meeting this weekend in Smashville, both Ryan Tannehill and Ben Roethlisberger have proved the doubters wrong so far this season. Everybody thought that last year was a fluke, that the Titans weren't as good as they made it to the AFC title game, and that everybody gave Henry all the credit and that Tannehill didn't do anything. But it was both of them that were sensational. Ryan Tannehill knows they can't slack off this Sunday, though, as they face another undefeated team in the Steelers. Here's Ryan Tannehill.
We know we're going to have to go play our best football game. I have a ton of respect for Pittsburgh. It's a complete team, offense, defense, special teams. They're solid all the way around. Obviously, defensively, what I'm looking at is pretty special. They have an incredible front, do a great job of moving up front, getting penetration, being disruptive. in the run and pass game. But then, you know, they pair that with a secondary who can make plays as well. So a ton of respect for these guys, and we know that we're going to have to bring our best.
You know, with talk about his pending free agency and lower productivity this season, as other wide receivers emerge in Pittsburgh like Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster isn't focused on himself, just team goals. Here's Juju on Coast to Coast.
I think they're paying tremendously. I think a lot of, you know, you look at the stats, you don't really see the big numbers there. You see points on the board and you see not a lot of yards. I mean, as far as for us, it's just more so of, you know, the ball placement, ball positioning. Turnovers are a huge thing for us these past couple games. So as far as that, you know, like I said, you know, making turnover plays and, you know, instead of driving 80 yards to score a touchdown, we're rolling.
All right, Cam, huge game. Tannehill, Henry, Titans, Vrabel, or is it Big Ben, Tomlin, Connor, Claypool, Juju, and Watt? What do you think happens in this great game on Sunday?
Oh, it's going to be a great one, Scotty. I remember before, though, you got to give me the old Barry Horowitz. I told you Chase Claypool would be all right, buddy. Remember draft night on the grid? I got this guy at 125-1 rookie of the year. It's not going to happen, but anyway, he had a great week. Here's the deal. The Steelers, you love them too. This guy, this team, if I was Tennessee, I would be nervous. There's so many different weapons. That receiving core, who are you going to cover, man? These guys are all exceptional. The Steeler defense, though, I think is the key. Henry, yes, he is the most dangerous back in football. I'll give Tannehill all the credit in the world. Man, he's matured. Guy's a friggin' receiver in college at Texas A&M. He's getting better every week. But the thing I like about is the Steelers' underrated defense. I love Micah Fitzpatrick. He always finds a way to make a big play in that game. It's going to be a tight one. I know a lot of people saying maybe take Tennessee if it gets up to 3, but I like your Steelers in this spot. I think they're a more complete team, and Tennessee might get all they can handle this week. I lean to Pittsburgh.
Do you think the Steelers will be able to stop Henry on the ground?
I do. I think, and I remember that Buffalo Bills game, even though they got throttled for the most part, they stopped Henry and they just carved him up. I think the Steelers front four can get pressure on Henry. You got to go. The thing is, you can't tackle that guy high. He's a monster. He's an absolute killer running the ball. You got to go low, take his legs out from him. He gets stronger as the game goes on. The Steelers defense, all they got to do is hold them early. And I think they'll be fine in this game, Scott. Big Ben has been a revelation. He's been fantastic. They murder Cleveland. Tennessee, I don't know if they can handle that Pittsburgh offense too. That's going to be that's the whole thing.
If they can get to Tannehill and put him on his ass 3 or 4 times, at least sack him a couple, knock him down several times, and then stop Henry, I think the Steelers can definitely win that game. You know, they showed how tough they were last week at home at Heinz against the Browns. Baker Mayfield talked about how the loss felt like more than just one game. They're 4-2, but they felt that it was just a terrible loss.
Feeling throughout the building after that loss, you know, 4-2 has never felt so much like 0-6 before. So, but that's because, you know, we have very high expectations for ourselves. So we're eager to get back to work and to get out there and fix the problems that we know are within our own control.
I mean, they laid an egg. The Steelers kicked their ass. It is what it is. Do you think that if they, when they play them in Cleveland later in the season, that they'll beat them and get even with them? And how do you think they'll play in Cincinnati this week, coming off of that performance where they got whooped?
I think they'll play well. I usually like home dogs, Scotty, you know me, but I think Cleveland in a bounce back spot, they'll be ready to go. I like what I've seen from Joe Burrow and that offense, but you saw what happened in that game against Indianapolis. They can give it up fast. They had a 21-0 lead and it disintegrated very, very quickly. And Phillip Rivers was nickel and diming all the way. I know it was a tight game. Cleveland will be angry. I think they'll win this game by 7 to 10 points, cover the number. As for the second game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, yes, I expect a tight game. I would not be shocked if Cleveland, you know, squeaked it out. But I'll tell you one thing, the Cleveland Browns, you got to keep on less talk, more delivering, because you know what? Pittsburgh exposed you guys. Are you ready for prime time? You're a good team, but you're not there yet.
Yeah, I still think the key to that team is Myles Garrett and OBJ. They got to keep giving OBJ the ball and letting him do his thing. Jarvis Landry revealed he's playing with a broken rib, and I got to tell you, that's no fun. Rib cartilage, broken ribs. You can't get out of a chair, can't get out of a car, can't get out of bed, can't cough. If you get a cough with broken ribs or a rib cartilage tear, you are done. I mean, you have no idea. It's like having a knife shoved through your chest. It's no joke. So I don't know how he's playing with a broken rib.
I don't know either. That's craziness. And I'll give this team a lot of credit. Baker Mayfield's done less talking this year and been less of a stooge, and he's actually focusing in, and he understands, like, we can't be these guys. We can't just man, because the Steelers, they're men. They go about their business, and they kicked you in the teeth. Now you got to go out there and deliver it, and that's the thing. It's a key game versus Cincinnati. If they lose to Cincinnati, then the problems will get absolutely magnified, but I think they're that good of a team. You talked about it too. Hunt can run the ball, keep OBJ involved, Landry, that they'll be fine. I know Baker his ribs are a little bit banged up, but over this time against Cincinnati, they'll get the job done, Scotty.
All right, another team that needs to recover after getting whacked last week, Tampa Bay roughed up Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers hasn't let it linger in his mind, though. Here's Rodgers.
Like I've said this entire conference, the most important thing is to stick to the process and the plan and the routine. We are creatures of habit, and it's important to move forward. You know, by the time we watch that film on Monday, that's in the can. We're on to the next opponent. You know, the last 2 days we've been watching Houston. You know, we've been talking about Houston. We're on to the next situation. The biggest thing that we can do is just focus on what got us here and this opponent.
So, Cam, do you think the Texans can upset the Packers in Houston?
No, I don't. I think Green Bay got a wake-up call in that game. They were up 10-0, and then the wheels fell off. That pick six kind of rattled the whole team. I think Green Bay's too good to let it go. Houston, hey, man, that was a great performance against Tennessee, but falling short in overtime, that's got to hurt. The Green Bay Packers are a good enough team. I think they go in there and get it done, Scotty. Laying the points, that's another thing. They'd have to be I'm going to put some round robins together, hopefully a couple money lines and turn it plus, because I'm not sure if they're going to cover the spread, but I think they are going to win the game.
So the Cowboys go to D.C., and their biggest problem has been their defense, allowing 36 points a game. Sean Lee, who seems like he never plays either, talks about how he thinks that things are going to get better for the Cowboys defensively. Here's Sean Lee.
Well, first, when it comes to not having an offseason, it's, you know, that team bonding, not being able to work out together, not having the shared sacrifice that builds bonds. That's a tough thing. The second thing is getting those true physical reps. You know, you can do mental reps as much as you want. The Zoom meetings were incredible. We learned a lot. But at the end of the day, you need to be on the field experiencing different looks, different offenses, to the point where you're really comfortable in that. And I think that's what we're doing now. We're working extremely hard. You know, we all know we're not where we want to be, but the guys are working hard, the coaches are working hard, and I think we're slowly going to continue to show progression.
Yeah, I don't. Do you think they'll lose to Washington this week?
Yeah, I got to be honest with you. This is the thing, Scott, and we've watched so many football. Like, we're not young guys here. Like, we've seen it, been there, done that. The Dallas Cowboys are at their lowest. Oh, they suck. Horrible performance against Arizona. What a train wreck. This is the week they actually show up. I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to bet hard on this game, but I think Dallas is going to beat Washington. I do think, they'll just do enough to win the game. That's the thing. I will not be betting on Washington. I love these narratives, right? When a team, they're that bad. No, they still suck, but so does Washington. Give me the Cowboys this week. I might be on.
All right, Seattle's still unbeaten, but has a tough road matchup within their division. Try to stay that way. Pete Carroll here talking about how great the Cardinals have looked so far. They've flexed that game to the Sunday night game. Now they've moved the Tampa Raider game to the late afternoon. So Seattle will play Arizona at night. Here's Carroll.
Cardinals couldn't have done much more to catch your attention than what they did Monday night. They look great, and they're red hot and explosive and fired up and all of that, and we better get our game right to have a chance. You can't watch this team without watching Kyler Murray and seeing what his effect on the game. He's a game changer, athleticism, poise, playmaking ability, and all of that, and you know, they've got guys around him. Kenyon Drake is an explosive football player, as we saw again on Monday night. Remember all the things that he's done in the past. Receivers are terrific. You know, it's a really good team to be dealing with. It happens to be division time for us. We want to play it just like it's a championship game, like we do every week, and go for it and do everything we can to get a great win.
All right. right, there you go. Very exciting. Since, you know, Cam's got to run and get ready for game time decisions, I want to give him some of the best stories of the day. Just weeks after a woman in England bit off her man's, let's just say, flute, he told police one of them would wind up dead. She stabbed him to death in front of witnesses. She finally finished him off. A police officer in Orange County, Florida, is arrested after giving his young daughter a rifle, a bulletproof vest, and Kevlar helmet and told her to shoot anyone that came near the house while he was performing an exorcism on his son. There you go, Cam. I hope you enjoyed that one. I'll see you tomorrow, buddy.
Talk to you tomorrow.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You know, these are really uncertain times. Everybody's aware of that. But what is certain is that every family member needs a reliable thermometer. It's crucial. Protect your family with the Exergen Temporal Scanner, the only home thermometer used and recommended by hospitals, physicians, and clinics. Stay safe with Exergen. I'm excited to have our guest in, Dan Hoard, the legendary voice of the Cincinnati Bengals, and of course, the Cincinnati Bearcats, who have a huge game down in Dallas this Saturday against unbeaten SMU. Dan, it's great to see you. Why don't we start off by talking about the Bearcats going to play this tough SMU team? You know, I watched SMU play last week on television, and I was impressed with them. And it's amazing to me that no one talks about them at all. Meanwhile, they're 5-0, whatever it is. They've won every game that they have in front of them. So I'm sure they're licking their chops with another opportunity to prove that they mean business against Cincinnati.
No question about it. It's a really good team, and they've been good now for not just this year, but the last two. They were 10-3 last year. They're 5-0 this year. They're sixth in the country in scoring. They're fourth in the country in offense. Shane Bouchel, their quarterback, has thrown for more career yards than any other quarterback in college football, at least active quarterbacks in college football. So they're legit. Cincinnati is going to be tested, to say the least, on Saturday night.
So tell me how the Bearcats are doing with everything that's been going on, and what's it been like to, you know, do the games with the COVID and the uncertainty and the nervousness and people, you know, freaking out a little bit.
Well, so far, Cincinnati has not played a road game. So the three games that they've played have all been at home. They've been played in front of friends and family type crowds. It hasn't been that unusual. This will be their first road game, getting on a plane, traveling under much different circumstances than they've ever traveled before. Then it's a 9 p.m. game Cincinnati time, 8 o'clock Dallas time. So a long day cooped up in a hotel. It's going to be an interesting road trip, to say the least.
So how do you handle your business doing the games and everything that's going on? Like, what kind of you know, different protocols do you have to follow and everything else? What's it like for you?
Well, this is going to be the first University of Cincinnati game that I will do off a monitor. I will not be traveling to the game. I have not been traveling with the Cincinnati Bengals, so I'm getting used to kind of calling games off a TV screen, but this will be the first time we'll do it for the University of Cincinnati. And it's going to be a little bit different because the NFL has strongly discouraged local radio crews from traveling. So they've done everything possible to help us. They've given us a couple of direct feeds from the stadium. We get the sound effects. You wouldn't know listening on the radio that we're not there. College football is a little bit different. The NFL has spent a lot of money to do that. College football is not going to do the same. They don't have as much to spend. So we're hoping everything goes smoothly. But I'll be ready just in case there's a glitch or two. It might happen. Who knows?
When you were, you know, back in the day, auditioning for gigs and, you know, calling games. You know, I'll never forget when I got the Thrasher play-by-play job in the NHL, they put me in a room and I called a Red Wing Blues game in the NBA Turner Studios where Barkley and the guys do the show with Ernie. I sat in that room and called a game off a giant monitor. I had no rosters, no idea about anything. They just said, here, let's hear you call a game. And that's how I did it. Have you done that in the past? Obviously, even as a kid, calling games, watching on TV, doing play-by-play, and here you are calling NFL and college football games on a monitor. It's got to bring back flashbacks, doesn't it?
It does. I never had to do that for a job interview, but I've been telling people, because a lot of people have asked me that question, how are you going to call a game off a TV screen? From the ages of about 11 to 16, I grew up near Buffalo, New York. I was simultaneously the voice of the Bills, the voice of the old Buffalo Braves, the voice of the Sabres, and the voice of the New York Mets, because I did all of those teams off a TV screen into my little cassette recorder. So I didn't realize it at the time, but I was preparing for what my job would eventually be.
What did you think when you saw the Blue Jays playing at the home of the Bisons this summer?
Brought back a lot of memories because I was a minor league baseball broadcaster early in my career, first in Syracuse, New York, then Pawtucket, Rhode Island. So I've done a lot of games in that stadium. It's had about a million names over the years. It was Pilot Field when it opened, and it's had several names since. So it was kind of fun to see Major League Baseball happening in that environment.
So, Dan, are you a closet Buffalo fan still from your childhood? Do you not admit that publicly or in your neighborhood? You might get snowballed in the Queen City. Do you still root for those teams underneath it all?
Not really, to tell you the truth, and I feel guilty about that. I always thought that if you are a true blue sports fan, your teams are part of your DNA. But I've learned in my own case, it's not true. I mean, Buffalo, the Bills in particular, are my second favorite team. And the Sabres are still my hockey team. They don't have a major, you know, an NHL franchise in Cincinnati. But I'm a Bengals person through and through. I've been doing the games now for 10 years. I worked in the Cincinnati market prior to that. So Buffalo second, Cincinnati a dominant number one.
Wow, Carver High, our other host and producer on the show, is a gigantic Bills fan. He wore a Bills blazer the other night when they played the Chiefs on Monday Night Football. You should have seen him. He's not here today, but that guy's a maniac for the Bills. Let's talk about your Bengals, though. How do you feel about Joe Burrow and his start? I think he's phenomenal talent, and I think he's been taking a lot of abuse. I have had conversations with people about that front line of theirs. They need I believe on both sides of the ball, that's where their problems start and end, in the trenches. If they ever got that kid some blockers and guys that could protect him, I think he's going to be dangerous.
No question about it. And they're working on it. In the last 2 weeks have been the first time this year they've had the same five guys on the offensive line. They went through four right guards in the first 4 weeks, partly due to injury, partly due to poor play. So now they've got the five guys they think are the best five guys they have on the roster. And it was better last week against the Colts, even though they blew a 21-point lead. He was only pressured nine times on 42 dropbacks, only sacked twice. Those are normal numbers. Two sacks, nine pressures during the course of an NFL game. If they can do that for the rest of the year, he's going to be fine. But right now, he is number two in the NFL in most times sacked behind Carson Wentz. So that's obviously a number that's got to come down.
Has it bothered him at all? Like, has it rattled him at all? You see him, you know him, you're getting to know him better each week that goes by. He's a tough cookie, no doubt. Does any of it overwhelm him at all, the amount of speed and abuse that comes flying over that line toward his body? I mean, that would scare the hell out of me. I'd be calling my mom, I can guarantee you that. What's he like with all that heat?
You would never know it. I mean, he says that's part of football. I like getting hit. Those are his exact words. I like getting hit. Be careful what you wish for. We don't want to see him get hit as often as he's been hit. He's been hit, I think, 50, four times in the first six games of the year. So that's too much. It's not sustainable. They've got to cut down on the number of times that he's getting hit. But, you know, the hard thing for Joe Burrow and for the Bengals offensive line, which takes a lot of hits, is that you face Pittsburgh twice. You face Baltimore twice. You face Myles Garrett and Cleveland twice. It's hard to prevent those teams from getting to your quarterback. I think if you put any other offensive line from all of the other divisions outside of the AFC North and had to play those teams six times, their offensive lines would be mocked by people around the country. So I'm not trying to say the Bengals offensive line has played well. It hasn't. But I do think that the quality of the competition has a lot to do with it.
I think you're right, Dan. That's a very abusive division with pass rushes and linebackers and blitzing schemes. And the coaching talent of defenses is remarkable in that division. I actually like the Bengals this week, Dan, against the Browns. If they can handle Garrett, I really believe, you know, and I mean this, I think I like their running backs. I like their receivers. I like their quarterback. They're in games. They've been in every game. The Colts game, they were completely in control of that game. And I just don't think they know exactly how to finish off games right now. But I think they can play with anyone, and I certainly think they can play with the Browns at home this Sunday.
I'm not sure if they can play with Pittsburgh and Baltimore yet. I mean, if you look at Cleveland, they're 4-2. Their two losses were 38-6 and 38-7, the Baltimore and Pittsburgh. So there's a divide between the top two teams in the division and the bottom two. But aside from that, I think you're right. I mean, the Bengals have had fourth quarter leads in four of their six games. They should be 4-2. I'm not sure if people around the country realize that. They're 1-4-1 because, as you mentioned, they have not been able to finish. But they've got Cleveland at home. The first game was 35-30 in Cleveland. Nick Chubb is out. He was a terror in that first game on Thursday Night Football. And as good as Kareem Hunt is, it's nice when you only have to face one of those guys instead of both of them.
I mean, that game was really good. Everyone said this is going to be a terrible game. And I always think when, you know, two average teams hook up, it's usually a really good game. And then the teams where there's all the hype and this team's great, that team's great, it never lives up to it. I thought that Bengals-Brown game actually lived up to it. Tell me how you think the franchise feels about Zach moving forward. Are they excited about the future with him? Is he the man?
The franchise is hopeful that he's the man. Unfortunately, his record is 3-18-1 after 22 games. So at some point, you have to win. The ownership loves him. The front office love him. By and large, the players love him. He's a great guy, but the bottom line is the bottom line. At some point, he has to win games. Hopefully, that will increase the rest of this season because I would like to see him retain his position. I got to know him when he was the offensive coordinator at the University of Cincinnati. So I've been around him now for two different Cincinnati teams. I think he's a very bright guy, but you've got to win games, and nobody knows that more than he does.
Dan, I got to say, in terms of, you know, the losing prior to this, he didn't have Burrow. And I didn't think they had, you know, I thought Andy was bad at the end. That's my feeling. And now it's a new day. And I think the future, he should not be judged by how he started. I think he should be judged by, are they getting better now? And it's noticeable to me. It's obvious to me that they're getting better. What is the situation with AJ Green? Are they going to keep him, deal him? Is he happy?
Well, he's happier after having his first good game in a couple of years last week. He had 8 catches for 96 yards last week, and nearly every one of those catches came second and long, third and long, fourth and long. I mean, it was one clutch catch after the other. Prior to that, he had done very little this season. So hopefully that's a sign that the AJ of old is back. Maybe not the guy that went to 7 straight Pro Bowls, but a very good NFL wide receiver. If that's the case, and he continues to play well for the rest of this season, I suspect they'll re-sign him. He has made references to being like the Larry Fitzgerald of Cincinnati, the guy who spends his entire career with one team, has a great career. He's here for the revival under Joe Burrow when the team gets good again, and I think he believes that can happen. but he's got to continue to play well. They're not going to invest in a guy who will be 33 years old next year if he's not playing well.
Dan, great stuff. Hey, good luck calling the Bearcat game with SMU on the monitor. Have a great game against the Browns on Sunday in the Queen City in the jungle. Always good to see you. It's great having you on Coast to Coast. Stay healthy, my friend. Keep killing it with the Bearcats and the Bengals. Thanks, my friend.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks for having me on.
The legendary voice of the Bengals and Bearcats, Dan Hoard on Coast to Coast.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Pharrell back on Coast to Coast. So here's the deal. Tonight you got Arkansas State and Appalachian State in North Carolina. I believe they play that game. I could be wrong. Anyway, here's the deal. It's 13, the line with App State laying 13. I got it at 10.5. I laid the 10.5. I'm not sure I'm high on them dropping that much wood, 13 to Arkansas State. Arkansas State is not bad. I mean, they're going to give them a game. They're 3-2. It's not like they're losers or anything. And, I mean, App State's basically played three games. They're 2-1, unless I'm mistaken. So I don't like that number at 13. I liked it at 10.5. I was willing to lay it there, and hopefully they win by 11. And then, of course, you've got the Giants playing in Philadelphia, 8:20 on Fox. Eagles laying 4.5. I got it at 3.5. Originally, I wanted the Giants at 6.5, but when it moved to 3.5, I laid it with Philly. And one of the things, I'm not a trend guy, but boy, is Peterson owned the Giants like no other. 5-0 on Thursday nights against whoever, 7-1 against the G-men since he's been the Eagles coach. So watch that game. The other game, the college games, ESPN at 7:30. One other note, always important to get in the funny stories. So Phil Collins, you remember the musician Phil Collins? Everybody loves Phil Collins, right? He says his ex-wife used armed guards to take over his $33 million mansion in Miami. I mean, how much does a chick have to hate you? honestly, I've heard of hits, you know, like they hired a hitman or the murder for hire. You got to hire somebody to knock off your ex or your husband. Or I love those stories on TV. Those are fantastic. But who hires an army to go raid your husband's mansion in Miami? You can't even make that up in a movie. They come in like a SWAT team with AK-47s. You're out by the pool having a cigar in your robe with no pants on, and you get rolled. What's up with that?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.